It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What was your reaction and what you had to say what you had to hear from James there?
I don't know that my questions about Deshaun, have been answered.
Mm-hmm.
Only Deshaun can answer it with how he plays this year.
It's very Buddhist of you.
I love what he had to say about Njoku. I love what he had to say about Jerry Jeudy.
Mm-hmm.
But. You know, I actually
real quick to because I do have something on that. I think the most underanalyzed part of this offseason has been something I've tried to get anyone to engage with me on, which is the new offense. Because a year ago they promised a new offense, but it was supposed to be a hybrid of other concepts and what Kevin wanted to do because of injuries and a lot of other things. We never really saw that new offense.
And then by the end of the season, we're like, can we keep the Joe Flacco offense? Because it's really fun to watch.
Which was basically the Gary Kubiak offense as it was run in Minnesota and previously other spots.
And basically the Kevin Stefanski offense as Kevin Stefanski would like it to be run, right?
But I do think, I never really worried about how bad they looked or reportedly looked in training camp for two reasons. One, the offensive line did not have their starting tackles out there. That is a big thing. It's something we'll talk about a little bit more later in the show. Two, it's a new offense. And if you were trying new things and seeing how pieces fit together, I kind of assumed that there was going to be a little gradual break-in period. And so for those two reasons, I think long-term, it is crucially important that they actually commit to this direction with Sean instead of bailing like they did halfway through last year, because I do think comfort goes a long way, especially with a quarterback who I think it's reasonable to expect he probably had some confidence issues after the way the last 3 years have gone.
Well, Deshaun needs to give them a reason not to bail on it. That's first and foremost.
Well, what do you mean by that?
He needs to play well.
Okay, well, I mean, he played well last year.
And he needs to execute effectively within this scheme.
And he did that last year. Remember, it's the injuries why they bailed last year.
I get it. But I'm just saying, there's a lot, from my perspective, on Deshaun's plate this year as far as responsibility when it comes to just how successful this season will or will not be for the Browns.
So I hear you on that, but what I will say
He's got to... I feel like, and I realize how unfair this is. So let me say that up front. I realize this is a little unfair, but I kind of feel like he's got to sell us on this new offense by playing well. Because again, we're coming off the Kevin Stefanski offense was not broken. I think that's one of the biggest misnomers with the transition from Alex Van Pelt is the offensive coordinator now to Ken Dorsey is that the Browns fixed a problem. No, the Browns didn't really fix a problem. They adjusted to their centerpiece player of their offense in Deshaun Watson.
Okay, but
that's
with that,
what they really
but
did.
But with that, why didn't they do that 2 years ago?
Well,
because this is where, because where you're going, I understand why you're about to say, well, it's a lot's on Deshaun this year. Hooey, a lot's on Deshaun and the Browns. And I think people have been very selective on where we slide that weight, right? All right, we're putting both butt cheeks on one side of the scale and then calling it fair. No, the Browns, and this is, and I mean,
hey, listen,
this with all,
one cheek down is a catch in the NFL. Remember that.
I've been trying to sell that to my wife for a minute now, but like the point is, like, I think everyone, it's Deshaun. It's all on Deshaun. That's not the way this is supposed to work.
I understand.
And the Browns
that.
Have failed, and with all due respect, the Browns have failed the last 2 years to do what they should have done 2 years ago, which is say, hey, Deshaun, what do you like to do? And then only do that, because that's the way every scenario is set up in the NFL.
And you just triggered another thought in my head.
Mm-hmm. I'm known to be triggering.
I know. Remember the introductory press conference? The part that was actually about football in the introductory press conference where Deshaun mentioned how much he enjoyed what Kevin had to say about the football aspect, how the offense is going to run and what it's going to look like, and how I don't know necessarily that actually happened the first 2 years, at least in the way that was intended to. And again, part of it was circumstance in year one of him not being available and allowed to play, and then in year two, the injury. But it feels like, and the perception, my perception, is that this year they went all in with Deshaun as far as how they built the offense, right? You bring in a guy like Jerry Jeudy. Last year was Elijah Moore. Amari Cooper a couple years before that. And then you bring in Ken Dorsey to mix in those elements where he was so successful with Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers getting to the Super Bowl that year, right? I think Newton won the MVP that year, if I remember correctly.
I believe it's correct, yeah.
So, what Dorsey did with Josh Allen up in Buffalo, even though he was the fall guy for the Bills' early season offensive struggles and all the interceptions Allen was throwing. Last time I checked, Dorsey was not on the field throwing the football, but he took the blame for that, right? So it feels like that the moves that they made this year really were the signal of, yeah, this is really it this year. Like, we got to make this work here in year three.
But isn't that confounding that it took 3 years to get there? Because this is less to put, the Browns. It is more that I think because we don't have a relationship with Deshaun for a myriad of reasons to this point, and we have a pre-existing one with Kevin that predates Deshaun, I think we've done a lot of the, well, this guy over here better get it. Deshaun didn't trade for himself. Deshaun didn't give himself $230 million guaranteed, and I don't think the Browns have helped Deshaun enough. I think this year could be the year they do it. But to what you just said there, I don't know.
I don't think he got it. I don't think that they had the chance. Because
okay.
And here's why I say that. Because, right? First year, we all know, not available for 11 games, Jacoby Brissett, right? I mean, polar opposite quarterback. So
okay, but you could have chosen a backup that fell in line with his level of skill.
I understand
and then
that.
Built the offense from there.
I get it. I'm just saying, like, so didn't really have a chance to get it off the ground in year one. Year two, tried to get it off the ground, and then he got hurt, right? And then you're scrambling with four other dudes starting football games, not named Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. So I understand. I get what you're saying, but really did Alex Van Pelt and Kevin Stefanski really legit have the opportunity to go all in?
Do you know how I know that they feel like they did?
Because
one of those guys isn't here anymore. Like, if you thought AVP, if you thought he was just a crime of circumstance, AVP wouldn't gotten murked.
I get it. But now that Dorsey is here, it's all in.
But I understand what you're saying. But okay, but now you got to do it,
right? That's why I'm saying, like, and that's why I am putting so much on Deshaun, because right, they brought in a coordinator who I think everybody agrees fits Deshaun, right? Mm-hmm. They have a supporting cast now in totality that fits Deshaun with the addition of Jeudy, right? The expectation that Elijah Moore is going to do a little more in this offense, right? The emergence of David Njoku in the offense, the fact that Jerome Ford can catch footballs coming out of the backfield, right? It feels like all the stars are aligned for Deshaun to be successful, right?
Well, so they've changed everything except one thing. Who's calling the plays?
And has that gone so terribly for 4 years?
So, but my point is, and this is not, I think Kevin's a fine play caller. So this is not, but I think my point is,
doesn't go well, that's what you're going to point to.
Well, no, I just look at this and go, all right, so it's a new system, one that you might have been building with Ken Dorsey, but you've never called it before. So how does that change things? So that's an unknown. It's not a definitive, but like right. You were saying, like, oh, we've done everything we can. Well, you still have Kevin calling plays, and Kevin does like certain things, and I wonder if old remnants of the old offense are going to stay in there because Kevin likes them. Because I think that's the thing. If we're still clashing of here's the Kubiak offense with here's the spread or the Fairbanks offense from New England, whatever the hell we're going to call this thing, and if those two things are bashing together, that's going to hold the Browns offense back a lot, and that's going to hold Deshaun back a lot more than the guy coming off a shoulder injury.
But I am fairly confident that that's not going to be the issue.
I think my point is, If everything's okay to throw up in the air and go, I don't know about that. I think giving them a pass for not doing the thing they've done the last 2 years, I think is excessive.
What Kevin's doing is the play sheet's been rewritten.
Well, okay, but that doesn't mean some of those concepts that I don't think fit, for instance, on schedule throws. That's something to watch on Dallas week one, on schedule throws. Those the way of the dodo?
Would you like to know what the biggest problem is going to be in this offense?
Sure.
It's going to be the choice routes, because the receiver better be going where Deshaun thinks the receiver's going. The receiver better read the secondary, the safeties and the corners, the exact same way Deshaun is. Because if they don't, guess what's going to happen? Deshaun's going to throw a lot of interceptions.
You didn't give me a chance to guess.
Bye. I have a bad habit of answering my own questions.
Okay.
It's what happens when you live alone.
No, it's fine. You're used to talking to yourself. That's fine. I really want to make it clear. Like, this is not to say, oh, the Browns or oh, Deshaun. It's actually just to do it like so many people are. And the reason is, I think in a lot of our heads, it's so easy to go, well, if Deshaun doesn't work in this context, well, I guess we tried. But that's not the reality of the situation. So, like, I'll be honest with you. If he comes out week one and looks, like, amazing, I'll be so thrilled. I'll also know if he doesn't, all right, well, how do you recalibrate it? What do you build on going into Jacksonville? And up until, like, I'm not giving him the old Peterlin pass here. But, like, this is not just on Deshaun. The Browns own a part of this. I think you're right. I think they've done a lot of the things you need to do. In theory, they've done a lot of things you need to do to get Deshaun in that comfort zone. But I need theory to become fact. Because if I see a lot of under center stuff, that's Kubiak stuff. I agree. But I better damn
you,
not.
But you want to know why I'm confident in saying that?
I would like to know why you're confident.
Because I didn't see a lot of under center at training camp.
Okay.
So if you're not practicing a lot of it, I don't think you're going to run a lot of it.
All right. In fairness, though, last year, going into the season, all I heard was about the new offense. New offense. Oh, man. This thing is going to be. And then we went out, and it was the old-ass offense. And I'm talking about even early before Deshaun got hurt.
Well, in their defense this year, to your point, they did change the OC.
216-474-0092.
Was it something I said?
No, because I think we're in a circular argument of sorts of where does this fall? I'm just saying it's on the Browns and it's on Deshaun. And if you want to put Deshaun first, it's on Deshaun and it's on the Browns. But if you obscure any bit of that for anyone, I'm saying when people start to say, well, it's all on Deshaun or it's all on the Browns, that's not the way this works. And to do that, in my opinion, would be to also look at this the wrong way because you're giving somebody a pass when nobody has ever passed. It hasn't worked out. This is when it's supposed to work out. And this is how you do it. It doesn't take 2 years to figure out, hey, should we run some of those things that they did in Houston when Deshaun was good? Like, that's what sometimes mystifies me is Kevin really is, and you can tell it, when you talk to him, there's another level of intelligence as a human being that I really enjoy about Kevin. And then I wonder, okay, well, what was the blocker? Was it ego? Was it hubris? Was it, I just like this offense more than others? Because Kevin had more than the Kubiak offense.
Don't have the player available to run said offense?
I mean, I think that's a pass. I think that's a cop-out. The only thing, when you make the trade for Deshaun, the only thing that matters, the only player that matters is that guy. And then, if Nick Chubb doesn't fit
it. But that guy's not on the field.
Well, vai con Dios, right? If Amari Cooper doesn't fit it, well, sorry, Amari, we like you a lot here, but you don't fit with a player. Like, once you get the quarterback, every other move has to be, oh, how do we make that guy better?
Yeah, but they got the quarterback, and the first thing they did was get him a number one wide receiver.
Well, okay, but again,
And then they spent the next two off seasons getting him more receivers.
Okay, but my point is, because you made the point of, well, do you have the guys?
And then this year they changed out the offensive coordinator.
Well, but you made the point. Do you have the guys to run the system? You have the guy.
Yeah.
The guy's the quarterback. And if everybody else doesn't fit it,
yeah, bye. They have the supporting cast. There is no excuse for Deshaun not to be successful this year.
But what does no excuse mean? Who's making these excuses?
What I mean is that you can't sit there and say, well, the offense doesn't fit the player, or the players don't fit the player, or I should say the supporting cast doesn't fit the player. They have done, the organization has done the work to build around Deshaun, and I will grant you, okay, maybe this should have been done a little faster on the timeline. But the bottom line is, going into this season right now, the stars have aligned for Deshaun to be as successful as possible.
You make it seem like
it's on him to live up to that expectation and be successful.
You say it like Miss Cleo was leading them through divination to the right spot here. It's not rocket science. You trade for $230 million player. Now do everything you can. And again, I'm not trying to hammer them. I'm just because you.
Yeah, but you're acting like they haven't given him the tools to be successful the first few years.
They have not put him in an offense that fits what he did in Houston or what he did in college.
But did we see enough last year to actually say that? That's my point, is he got hurt right away. So, like, they had to make adjustments.
Did you see it in Cincy?
Well, it rained all day.
It's okay.
And the next game, he got hurt.
Okay. And so
you have to pivot right away.
But the point is, what did they pivot to? They pivoted right back to Kevin's whoopee.
Right.
The thing is, you're reverse engineering a way to knock Deshaun in the ass on this one, which I don't think you're doing on purpose, but it is, well, now there's no excuse. So there was an excuse the last 2 years? Because I'd heard wasn't an excuse.
No, there was. He wasn't available the first year for 11 games, and he wasn't available the second year for 11 games, but for both completely different circumstances.
I've never seen any coaching staff, and specifically a head coach who calls a play.
But I like the fact that you think I reversed engineered something. I can't wait to tell mom and dad about that.
I just love the fact that any other coach in America does this with the $230 million quarterback. We're not just saying, well, it's all on Deshaun now. Nope. Kevin's feet is on the fire. Ken Dorsey's feet are on the fire. So are Deshaun's. It's all together now. That's a little too kumbaya. More on that in an update on the stadium. So not only were you down there at the press conference today to hear about Huntington Bank Field.
Which, by the way, all the signs are expected to be up in time for Sunday's opener.
I'm glad about that. I was really worried. I was like, if they even miss one sign.
Hey, I saw guys up there on the old, between the lights there, taking measurements, making sure that everything was I was kind of thinking you might want to make sure you have the measurements before you make the sign.
I like that Daryl couldn't come up with a word. So what you guys just basically wave off. I don't know what word that is, but whatever they were, wherever they were up in the sky, that's where they were.
The bank of lights atop the roof canopy. Better? Feel better about that description?
No. No, that made it worse. So much worse.
Should I go back to the swords and the rocket?
I think you should.
Okay.
I think you should. And I think the Cavs should as well.
I agree. They should reincorporate the swords. But
fear the rock.
But the Haslams did not want to talk a lot about the future, planning for the stadium. The one thing we did certainly find out today, what, regardless if they stay in that building or they go to Brook Park or they go to Medina County or Lorain County or Summit County or an adjacent county, it's, they're going to be playing, that is going to be the name of the stadium going forward for the next 20 years. So
is
whether
there surge pricing at play, by the way? I'm being actually 100% serious. So,
also, if they build, like, if they build the dome, it does the rights fee go up?
You would imagine, right?
Well, no, but
like,
I...
Like, one of the sexiest things about a new building is we didn't call the damn thing.
Well, what about Huntington Dome? Could they call it the Huntington Dome or something?
But we're going in the wrong direction.
Wrong direction. Okay, so let's move it forward. Let's hit the reverse, put it back in neutral. But the name will travel, is the point. But I think the Browns got the down payment today for the dome.
Mm-hmm.
Because for all the angst that folks have over naming rights sponsors for stadiums, I remember when Jacobs Field switched over to Progressive Field because Progressive gave the then Indians, now Guardians, lots of money to slap Progressive signs everywhere. And then this year when they renewed it, they put even more Progressive signs, which, by the way, I didn't realize there was room for more Progressive signs, but kudos to the Guardians. They found the room for even more Progressive signs.
You don't sound very progressive on these Progressive signs.
But the money that they got, Dan Gilbert with Quicken Loans, and now I think it's called, I think Quicken Loans is gone and his business is now Rocket Mortgage.
Yeah.
Those naming rights basically help cover the cost of the team investments in the facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Browns did that patch renovation back in 2014, 2015, they brought First Energy on for naming rights. They basically used First Energy money to cover the Browns' $100 million investment in the stadium. So that's why I call it a down payment on the dome, because I kind of feel like, okay, they've got an, that's usually the big piece to the puzzle, right? The naming rights sponsor, and that usually brings in a significant amount of revenue for you. That now gives the Browns the ability, to fork over either $500 to $600 million toward a renovation or $1.2 billion for a brand new in the ground with a roof Huntington Bank Field. Out in Brook Park. So I feel like it is a significant step for them, because that brings in a revenue stream that's going to allow them to make the contribution that they have volunteered to make towards construction.
What are some of the other things that you're, whether it's hearing about, you kind of viewing for kind of the future? Because obviously today people saw Haslam Group, hey, Announcement 11, they thought it was the stadium. It was about this stadium, just not what everybody thought.
Yeah, I think that the process is going to come to a head here in the coming weeks. They've got to make a decision. We all saw the thing. I love the politicians now. They're pulled. Burke Lakefront Airport is now coming out of the hat.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
That apparently is the rabbit out of the hat that they feel is going to solve all the problems. Going to build a Burke Lakefront Airport. Well, one of the worst kept secrets in town is that Mayor Justin Bibbs would like that thing to be closed down. And
so let's, real quick here, because I do want to put a pin in it, because I know you have a lot of really good stuff. Let's kind of throw this forward in the next segment, okay? So we got obviously the big update today was that it'll now be called Huntington Bank Field. If the bit isn't completely dead, at Nick Wilson says, at Right or Wrong FAN, let us know what you think it should be called. Social media reactions on X, powered by our friends at Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. But as we move forward, we are going to have a conversation about what Daryl's hearing about the latest on the update with the potential new stadium, refurbish the old one.
There's just a lot happening right now behind the scenes. You know, the Browns are trying to come to a final decision. But the reason it popped up is because all of a sudden now you know it seems like all the politicians are mobilizing behind the renovation or the new Eureka. Let's build it, Burke. Yeah. Mm. So let's fix up the existing stadium to keep you on the lake. We'll close Burke Lakefront Airport and then eventually build a new dome on that.
Mm.
There's a lot of problems with that. Number one, the Browns have already thought of it. So congratulations for thinking of something that's already been vetted. That's number one. Number two, the airport's still open. It's not closed. Now, one of the worst-kept secrets is Cleveland Mayor Justin Bibbs' desire to close Burke Lakefront Airport. From what I hear, that is top of mind for the mayor, and that is something he is working to move forward with to get that done. I have heard that the mayor and the I'm getting into the minutia of you know political workings here, but it is what it is. The current transportation secretary Pete Buttigieg has had multiple conversations with Bibb and also you know Buttigieg's office about closing Burke. There's a lot of things that have to happen for that. Okay, you know they just can't close it tomorrow and say okay the airport's no longer being used. There is a lengthy process that you have to go through to close an airport, okay? Hopkins Airport plays into this, believe it or not. There's like, and again, I hate getting into minutia, but there's FAA regulations. You got to have an airport you can land planes at just in case there's an emergency at the primary airport, right? Well, that is what Burke Lakefront Airport is. It's that Plan B airport for Hopkins. So now we'll have to create another airport to be able to do that when you close Burke. So there's the issue of, well, what is underneath Burke Lakefront Airport? How was that land made over the years? Is there some toxicity in that soil and things like that? So there, it's not as simple as Eureka. Yeah, we're going to renovate and then build you new in 15 years. That just isn't tenable for the Browns. And I don't think these politicians understand that. The other thing too is the costs astronomical. So okay, fine, you're gonna dump another $500 to $750 million potentially just to patch the stadium and just keep it running for the next decade until you can get Burke closed and ready to be built on. Then there's the cost of the actual dome on that site. Well, now the Browns would have to go back to the architect and completely start from scratch because their existing plans that they've already paid for don't work at Burke Lakefront Airport. You cannot dig 80 feet into the ground on that land. Okay? That is a fact. So and then also too, for every year, like the cost right now is $2.4 billion to build the dome. For every year of delay, from what I have been told, it's anywhere from 5% to 10% increased in cost. You're talking well over $100 million per year for delay. Multiply that by a decade, 10 years. Quick math, and I realize math is, that's $1 billion.
That checks out.
Okay. So now you're talking an additional $1 billion plus in cost for the Burke site, plus a redesign. So that's actually, that $1 billion is even more. Throw some more hundreds of millions of dollars on top of that, right? On top of that 2.4. So it's 3.4 plus there. So plus the cost of the renovation, well, that's about $500-$600. We're at $4 billion right now to do this Eureka plan that the county politicians say would be awesome for Cleveland. Versus, well, you can do $2.4 billion and get the new building in Brook Park. And by the way, that thing's open within 5 years. Versus something that isn't going to be open for a decade. So you're kicking the can down the road to spend even more money. So there's a lot that's going on right now with folks saying things and negotiating through the media and things like that. And at some point, like right now as we sit, there's a choice. Renovate or dome. Mm-hmm. I'm here to tell you, at some point, there's not going to be a choice.
Yeah.
At some point, the Browns will make a decision of what they want to do, and then that's what they're going to move full steam ahead on. So there's a lot going on, and I know that was a lot for folks to take in. There's a lot of elements to it. But, you know, whatever happens with Burke, whether the mayor is able to get that thing closed or not, I we'll see. But I don't know that building on that site on Burke, I just, from what I have been told, I don't think it's viable. The Browns have said in statements that it's not viable, Nick. And they've already, like, again, they considered five or six different sites when they were going through this 6-7 year stadium location process that they went through before they settled on Brook Park.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are forgetting, and when I say people, I mean politicians, the Brook Park site was not a rabbit the Browns just magically pulled out of a hat.
Yeah.
They put in a purchase option for that land so they can secure the property, right? The infrastructure is there. The infrastructure cost is significantly lower than, by the way, it's hundreds of millions of dollars to do the lakefront.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's to switch out Route 2 and make it a boulevard, which makes the stadium even more inaccessible to folks. And if it's such a great site, I'll leave you with this parting thought. If the lakefront's such a fantastic site for the Cleveland Browns, then why the hell do you have to shut it down 3 hours before kickoff every single game?
It's also, why have you been waiting for the Browns to renovate the lakefront when you've had 50 years to do it? By the way, there was a whole, I don't know if anybody remembers this, whole 5-year period they weren't there. So, like,
well, 3 years.
The team had, or the town has had time to do this. I gotta say, like, I know, you know, we all have our criticisms, and I think sometimes I can understand why the Browns might feel like, any team in town might feel like we go after them. I think the Browns have been incredibly patient with this process, and I kind of feel like the Browns have done this the way that it should be done, which is judiciously, with time and with thought and with the work behind it. And it feels like, I don't know, you can leave this alone, agree, disagree. It feels like they're just politicians trying to jump on the end to get some credit or maybe something kicked their way. And I think it's disgusting because I think the Browns have done this exactly the way. I think they learned. Remember when Jimmy first came here? There was a lot of talk maybe about a new stadium and all that.
Right.
And they did the short-term measure. They renovated it. And then in appropriate time, they started, all right, what's the vetting process look like?
Well, when they did that renovation, they realized the lifespan of the building and what they added to it from that aspect. And then they said, okay, we need to cultivate some options here because, okay, what we did is good for the next 15 years, right? The changes we made to the building, good for us for the next 15 years, but you know, the business of the National Football League has changed. The amenities that NFL teams want to offer the upper end of their fans that you know, and sponsors have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what the Guardians did to Progressive Field, right? They noticed the viewing habits of their fans in the ballpark have changed. And so as part of their renovations, they did things to accommodate those changes with the drink rails and the gathering spaces and things. And lo and behold, what happened to them this year? People are buying tickets again. People are going back to the ballpark. It's, you know what I mean? It's the days of the majority of baseball fans sitting in the chair for 9 innings watching the game. Those are people want to move around. They want to congregate, hang out with their friends and stuff like that. So, I think that the Browns overall have done a fairly reasonable job in the proposals of, hey, we'll split the cost down the middle. And then the extra stuff that we want to really make some money off of out in Brook Park, well, we're going to pay for that. And oh, by the way, which by the way we know is going to happen, the dome's not coming in at $2.4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
The next project that comes in on budget will be the first, right?
And please look to what happened in LA with Stan Kroenke and SoFi, which is beautiful, but look at how they got there.
Right. But and the Browns, in one of their statements, the Haslams have said, we are planning for covering the budget, the overruns in Brook Park. we don't want them. We're on the architects and the engineers and the all that contractors. Hey, 2.4 is the budget. That's what it needs to come in on. But let's be honest about it. It's probably going to come in above that. So, you know, you have a private investment offer of close when you include the $200 million that they're going to spend out in Berea, you know, where, you know, Cross Country Mortgage Campus is, right? You're talking about an offer of a private investment of $2.8 billion. And I realize that $1.2 billion is a lot of money when you're talking about the public portion. And I don't know if the Haslam's maths when it comes to the taxes that will be generated to, you know, allow that to pay for itself. Right now, I'm taking it face value, so to speak. I don't know if those numbers add up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's a $2.8 billion private investment next to what is going to be a $3 billion investment in the airport, which, by the way, is also going to provide some amenities to that airport, which it does not currently have. Hotels, restaurants, places to go. If you got flights delayed and stuff, you can leave the airport, go across the railroad tracks and stay, hang out, get something to eat, you know, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, so I feel I agree with you. I think there's some disingenuousness from some of, you know, the political rhetoric that's out there right now. But like this whole, hey, we'll just build you a dome once we get Burke Lakefront Airport closed and we'll build it there, which is going to cost infinitely more than the public commitment now. That might be as flawed a plan I've heard from a politician in a very long time.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.